You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Day two of free agency is in the books for the New York Giants with the signing of Drew Lock to be the backup quarterback for Daniel Jones being the most notable thing that the Giants did on the second day of the negotiating window before free agency officially begins on Wednesday afternoon when teams are actually able to get players to put pen to paper and sign contracts. Ed Valentine of Big Blue View here. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View Radio Network. All right, the Giants signed Drew Lock on Tuesday, former Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks quarterback. They also added wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie, familiar to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from his days in Buffalo for wide receiver depth, and added defensive back Jalen Mills for depth in the secondary. Mills, veteran player, been around for 7 or 8 years, playing the safety position these days, can also play a little bit of slot. But what I really want to talk about first and foremost at this point is the signing of Drew Lock. And I keep hearing this impression, or I keep reading this impression from folks on X and maybe even some commenters at Big Blue View. There's this idea that some people have that signing Drew Lock somehow has taken the Giants out of the mix for drafting a quarterback at number 6 in April, or maybe from drafting a quarterback at all. And I simply don't understand how people can think that way at all. Drew Lock is a guy who's failed in his starting opportunities in Denver, was a backup in Seattle last year who played, I think, in 2 games. He's in New York because the Giants need an emergency backup plan for Daniel Jones in the event that he's not ready to start the 2022 season, or in the event that he suffers yet another injury that costs him or causes him to miss games. Drew Lock, first and foremost, he's not a guy who's suddenly going to morph into a top 12 or 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's not a guy who's suddenly going to morph into the guy that you want to go forward with and build your franchise around. He was a second-round pick in Denver. They gave him an opportunity to start. They found him wanting and moved on to Russell Wilson, which obviously also didn't work for Denver, and they've moved on from that, but that's another story. So Drew Lock at this point in his career is a backup quarterback. He's not going to suddenly be the guy in 2025 that the Giants want leading their franchise into the future. They're not suddenly going to make him the franchise quarterback. And listen, Drew Lock signed a 1-year, $5 million contract. Daniel Jones is entering the second year of his 4-year, $160 million contract. The second year is the last year of guaranteed money for Jones, unless he suffers an injury and his injury guarantee kicks in and that kicks some guaranteed money into his third year. I know that cutting Jones after 2022 or 2024 would cost, I think, $22 million in dead money on the salary cap. But the Giants are now in a situation with their veteran quarterbacks where they're covered for 2024. Daniel Jones is what Daniel Jones is. Maybe, hopefully, cross your fingers. We'll see what happens. Maybe the Giants get the 2022 version of Daniel Jones again. You know, maybe we learn this, you know, in 2024 once and for all that that's the best it's ever going to get with Daniel Jones, and it's time for the Giants to move on. Drew Lock, as I said, is a short-term replacement brought in, or a short-term backup option, you know, brought in as an insurance policy for Jones. At this point, you know, maybe Jones becomes, you know, maybe Jones has a really good year and the Giants stick with him. I don't know. But I still believe at this point that the plan for the Giants, that the thought process for the Giants would be that Jones carries them through the 2024 season, and then they likely move on. Which brings us to the 2024 NFL draft. And I think in no way, shape, or form does the signing of Drew Lock change anything about the Giants' plans at quarterback. If the Giants love Drake May out of North Carolina, if the Giants love J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, if the Giants love Jaden Daniels out of LSU, if they love one of those players and one of those players is available to them at number six, or if the Giants maneuver the draft board to get one of those players, I think that the Giants are in a situation where they're going to prepare for a post-Daniel Jones era. It's a good situation, to be honest with you, with if you look at guys like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, for example. Both of those guys are guys who, when you look at usage in college, they've thrown the fewest passes of any of the top prospects in the NFL draft among the quarterbacks. They could both use a year of sitting, learning, developing. This would be a great time, to be honest with you, for the New York Giants to look at that quarterback class in this draft and grab a guy like Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, if those are the guys that they like, if those are the guys that they want to try to build around, you know, going into the future. They're in a situation where they're set up where a young quarterback that they draft won't have to play week one or week two, won't have to be forced into the lineup. You know, Drew Lock isn't great, but you're not playing for a Super Bowl in 2024. Drew Lock can get you through a few games. The combination of Daniel Jones and Drew Lock can get you through a season. So I think it's actually a great time for the Giants to draft a quarterback. I've thought all along that this felt like the kind of year, the kind of situation, the kind of offseason where the Giants could reset that quarterback spot, could reset. And I like Daniel Jones. I've always liked Jones. I've always supported Jones, but I've said it again and again. 5 years into his career, four of those years haven't been good enough. There have been a lot of injuries. Just the contract situation, the way that things went last year, the way that Jones played, and yes, I know the circumstances weren't fair, and nobody could have been really, really good as a quarterback behind the offensive line with the way things were going with the Giants last year. But the situation lends itself to a natural sort of breaking point for the Giants where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll can draft and develop their own guy, a quarterback who wasn't inherited. And we can argue about whether Jones became Joe Shane's guy when he gave him that contract a year ago. And we can argue about whether that was a smart thing to do or not, but that's not really what I wanted to do here today. My point is simply this. in reference to the quarterback situation. I think that you're wrong if you believe that signing Drew Lock, a pure backup at this point in his career, I think you're wrong if you think that in any way, shape, or form that impacts the Giants' plans in the 2024 NFL draft. I've thought all along, I've written all along, I've said all along that I thought the Giants would do both. They would replace Tyrod Taylor, who signed with the Jets on Tuesday, with another veteran backup quarterback, which they've now done in adding Drew Lock. And they would look in the draft for a guy that they thought could be a potential replacement for Daniel Jones. If that's at 6 or 3 or 4 or 8, if they trade down, or if that's in the second round or the third round, then so be it. If they wait and draft a guy later in the draft like Spencer Rattler, then so be it. But I think the Giants are going to draft a young quarterback to at least give them an option to move on from Daniel Jones after the 2024 season.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, let's talk briefly about a couple of the other signings that the Giants made on Tuesday, and actually a couple of the players that they lost. I mentioned that the Giants lost Tyrod Taylor, who went across town to join the New York Jets, where he'll back up Aaron Rodgers. Really good move for the Jets, who now can avoid that disastrous situation that they had last year when Rodgers went down after just 4 plays. Tyrod Taylor remains a capable backup, even at 35 years of age, entering his 14th year in the league. So I would have been happy if the Giants had brought Taylor back, but Tyrod chose to move on. The Giants, I don't think we're ever going to match. I think Taylor got 2 years, $18 million from the Jets. I don't think the Giants were ever going to come anywhere close to that. I don't think they were ever intending to pay that kind of money for a backup quarterback in 2024. They got Drew Lock for 1 year and $5 million. And that goes back to a lot of what Joe Shane has done here, and that I wrote about at Big Blue View on Tuesday, in resetting the Giants financially, in resetting how they spend their money, what positions they spend it on, philosophically, how they want to build the franchise going forward. If you didn't read that piece, please go to Big Blue View and check it out. And also, while I'm on the topic of reading Big Blue View, if you stop by bigblueview.com, you'll notice when you open up a story that we now have a daily newsletter. You can get Big Blue View delivered to your inbox. You can get the best stories at Big Blue View from the previous day and from that morning, as a matter of fact. You can get the best stories from Big Blue View in your inbox in the morning. So please sign up for the newsletter and check that out. Check that out as well. But you know, back to Tyrod Taylor. The Giants, as I said, were never going to give Tyrod Taylor that kind of money. They were also never going to give A'shaun Robinson, who was a backup defensive tackle for them a year ago, I think was on a one-year, might have been $7 or $8 million deal. He got a three-year, $22 million deal from the Carolina Panthers, and good for A'shaun Robinson. He's a good player, not a great player. Another guy who, with some of the young players the Giants already have in Jordan Riley, DJ Davidson, with Dexter Lawrence in there, you know, on a mega contract, and with Rakeem Nunez-Roches in there, the Giants weren't going to spend, you know, that kind of money on A'shaun Robinson, a guy who's a good player, but really only a run defender, doesn't give you anything in the pass rush. So those are the guys that the Giants lost on Tuesday. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, in addition to Drew Lock, they added defensive back Jalen Mills and wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie. Mills is a guy who's played for the Eagles. He's played for the Patriots. Veteran player. The type of guy that the Giants, in the situation that they're in, the type of guy that they needed to provide some depth. Now, I don't know that they'll look at a guy like Mills as an every down replacement for Xavier McKinney, who signed a mega contract on Monday with the Green Bay Packers, but Mills is a guy who can help them. The Giants are not only losing McKinney, the Giants are also expected to lose cornerbacks Adoree Jackson and Darnay Holmes in free agency. I don't think Mills is a guy that you're going to put at the outside cornerback spot either. But again, he's a guy that can provide some depth to a secondary, some experience to a secondary that needs it at this point. And I think Mills is only costing the Giants the one-year veteran minimum, maybe with the veteran salary benefit added on top of that as well. But he's costing them the minimum possible amount for a player with his experience. So a good, useful signing for the Giants. And Tuesday evening, as I sat down to record the show, news broke that the Giants had agreed to terms with wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie, who spent last season with the Indianapolis Colts and spent several years prior to that with the Buffalo Bills, where obviously Joe Shane was assistant GM. And Brian Daboll was offensive coordinator. So Shane and Daboll, very familiar with McKenzie's skill set. McKenzie's a guy who never been a guy that's been a primary receiver. He's never really been a starter. He's a guy, I think his career high in catches is 42. Had only 11 receptions in 13 games for the Colts a year ago. He's a depth signing. You look at the Giants are losing Paris Campbell, who didn't work out as a one-year sort of prove it, you know, flyer signing. They're moving on from Paris Campbell in free agency. They're moving on from Sterling Shepard as well. So this is really a depth signing. And when I saw it, I actually wonder if this might be partially or maybe more than partially about kickoff return. Gunnar Olszewski, who the Giants re-signed as well, is a punt returner, has experience returning kickoffs, but I think we saw last year the Giants didn't really have confidence in Olszewski as a kickoff returner. He's not a speed guy. He's not a guy that's really going to threaten on kickoff returns. And the reality of it is the league might be changing the kickoff rule again. after a year where the league saw so few kickoffs, basically the kickoff was largely not even part of the game. The league has determined that it wants kickoff in the game, you know, on a more regular basis. They tasked special teams coordinators with coming up with a new rule. The coordinators have come up with a rule, you know, similar to the XFL, USFL rule, you know, where the blockers and the kickoff defenders are only a few yards apart from each other at the beginning of the kickoff. I think they're stationed at the 35 or 40 yard line, something like that. I don't have the exact rule in front of me, but part of the rule is that, and this rule has not yet been approved by ownership, but part of the proposed rule is also that if you kick the ball into the end zone, the touchback comes out to the 35 yard line. So they're encouraging the idea that they want returns on every play. And McKenzie is a guy who has done a lot of kickoff returning throughout his 8-year career, throughout actually what is a 7-year career, I'm sorry. But he's a guy who has a 22.6 yard kickoff return average. Over the last 3 years, he's averaged 24 yards a return or more in each season on kickoff returns. So I wonder if the signing of McKenzie is not only about depth and the familiarity that Daboll and Shane have, but I wonder if it's about possibly giving the Giants an option as a kickoff returner. So interesting signing, small signing. Another, what I think was a good day for the Giants. None of these guys is going to be, you know, a franchise-changing player, but the Giants made their franchise-changing moves on Monday, trading for Brian Burns, moving on from Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney, signing two starting caliber offensive linemen, adding Devin Singletary to replace Barkley at running back. So at this point now, for the Giants, it's about finding pieces that fit needs. And that's really what the Giants tried to do today, at least in my view, with Locke, Mills, and McKenzie. All right, Giants fans, I think that's the show for today. Just kind of wanted to cover what happened on day two in free agency. So please like, share, and subscribe, as I said. You know, if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe across the Big Blue View Radio Network, subscribe to our new newsletter. Check us out on all of our different platforms, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out on X at Big Blue View. You can check me out on Threads if you're using Threads. That's at ed.valentine. So please, you know, look for us wherever you consume your Giants information. So thank you, Giants fans. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, Claude, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.